Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing this morning? Good, good. It's good to see all your smiling faces. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Doug, and I'm the youth pastor here at Vintage Church. Where are my students at? Are any students here? Right over there? Yeah? Hi, guys. It's good to see you. That's like 80% of my youth group right there. So it's my pleasure to be with you this morning. I genuinely love this church. Every time we get through worship, I'm like, man, how did we end up here? How did we end up here in this awesome place where God is just doing so many amazing things? It really is incredible. So again, I'm the youth pastor here, and some of you might not know me, so I'll just give you a little bit of information about me. I've been married for 11 years to my beautiful wife, Christy, who's over there. She's awesome. I would likely be dead if it wasn't for her, so I'm super grateful for her. And then I have two little boys, Aiden and Dougie. And so Aiden just celebrated his fifth birthday last week, so we're really happy for him. We went to Gaddytown and ate a bunch of pizza and went nuts with video games. It was awesome. And then I have another son named Dougie who is going to be 7 in March. Now, I'm not originally from Austin. Okay, we moved here almost 2 years ago. So in April of next year, it'll be 2 years. And I got to be honest with you guys, it was not the easiest move in the world. Okay, who here has moved like states before? Anybody? It is rough. Let me tell you what. All the expectations, like everything that we thought was going to happen in Austin, did not happen. And you may say, Doug, everything. Everything that we thought was going to happen did not happen for us. And so 2018 was a tough year. It was tough for the family. It was tough for me. And one of the ways that I cope with sort of dealing with difficult decisions, trying to control my environment, is by creating routine. Any routine people in the house? Right? Yeah. I could do the same thing every day until I die and be fine with that. Okay? So let me give you a little insight. In the mornings, I get my beautiful baby boy out of bed. It takes about 7 or 8 times, but I roll him out of bed, help him get dressed for school, take him off, go drop him off, go do what we got to do, and then I take off to work. Every morning, for at least the last month, I have 3 breakfast taquitos from 7-Eleven and a Bang energy drink. Okay? I get excited about that. Like every morning I leave the school and I'm like, it's taquito time, it's Bang time. Like I am super stoked. And some of y'all might be like, I think you need a doctor, which is probably true. But seriously, it's like the spice of life for me to know what to expect every morning. I love it. I could do it for eternity. So on the other hand, my wife is not a creature of routine. In fact, if she could just fill every day with absolute insanity, she would do it, right? Like, let's just go find something fun today. Let's go on an adventure. Let's do something crazy. Who here is the kind of adventurous, spontaneous one? All right? Who here is like, I'm all about that routine? All right, we'll be friends. But here's the deal. We need everybody else, too, or else things would get very boring around here. So thank you for both of y'all. Now, one day, it was probably 2018, yeah, we were here, my wife comes home and she says, you know what, I really want to do the Christmas tree lighting at Zilker Park. So anybody here ever been to that? Yeah, it's like 6 million people with their dogs and not a lot of rules and Christmas music. It's my personal hellscape set to like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I did not want to go, okay? That is not my thing. I don't want to be around a bunch of people. Not really my deal, okay? But my wife, spontaneous, wants to have some fun. We're having a tough year. I'm like, okay, I got a choice to make. All right? Choice one is I can make it as awful as possible for everybody and complain the whole time, right? Which I have been guilty of. I'll be 100% honest. Sometimes I'm like, this is a terrible idea. Look at these people. They're not even using the crosswalk. There are rules. Like, I could have made it a whole big deal. But I didn't. I was like, you know what? My wife, she needs some fun in her life. My kids need some fun in their life. So you know what? I'm just going to surrender to the process. All right? I'm going to embrace it like the rest of the normal people, and we're just going to have a good time. And you know what? Honestly, it was great. The kids had a good time. My wife had a good time. I was there. It was awesome. Okay? So it all worked out. Oh, man. So now, why do I tell you that story? Well, because sometimes we don't always have the power to control everything. Right? But we always have the power to surrender. We always have the power to surrender, to sort of let go and submit ourselves or surrender ourselves to the process. And so let me pray for us, and then we're going to get into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for just your love and your grace on our lives, that who we are as sons and daughters of you is not lost, that you know exactly who we are, exactly where we've been, and exactly where we're going. And so, Father, I pray for you to build up in us faith this morning. We can trust you with our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, let's read a little bit of the Bible. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Let's see here. Let me find myself. There we go. All right, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed. That's what I wanted to highlight this morning really quick about this part of the story, is that you got to think about this for a moment. Mary, in terms of the priorities of that day, had everything going in the right direction. Okay? She's about to marry that nice Jewish boy from down the street that her parents approve of, right? Like, life is happening for her. Things are going the right direction. This is awesome. My life goals, bunch of check boxes. Boom, boom, boom. Everything's going the way I want to. And then all of a sudden, the Lord begins to speak. And it says she was disturbed and confused. I don't know if you guys have ever felt this way, but do you ever feel like, man, everything's going the right direction, and then all of a sudden God starts wanting to talk to you? And you're like, no, we're fine. Everything's going good. We don't need to chat. Life goals are happening, right? That's kind of like how I imagine Mary in this moment, like, no, I'm about to get married. Like, no surprises right now, okay? We got the photographer. We got the cake. We're going to get married at Bethlehem Bridge. The whole thing's going to happen, and you can't just come into my world. But sometimes that happens. So an example of this would be, as I mentioned, my wife and I are from my wife's from Austin, but we lived in Myrtle Beach for a long time. And there were a lot of things about Myrtle Beach we didn't love. It was like a retirement community, so mostly people went there to die. But other than that, all right, it wasn't too bad. No, it was fine. But as far as life goes in Myrtle Beach, we were checking a lot of boxes, okay? First of all, I had a great job. I had like the cushiest job in the world. I was working for my dad. Basically, the only better job would maybe be like a stamp licker or something. Like, I didn't have to do anything, okay? It was a great job. It was awesome. It was flexible. I could be a good dad. My wife, she was killing it at work. She was like getting ready for like promotion to the next stage of leadership. We had this great church. Wonderful people have been serving and living with these folks for like 8 years. I had two kids, we had our first house, my kids were like past the toddler stage, so we felt like we were pros, like we nailed that newborn stuff, and they're like, you know, we were super excited, a lot of check boxes. And all of a sudden, God starts to speak. What about Austin? What about Austin? Like, everything's fine. But no, it kept coming up. What about Austin? What about Austin? And then sometimes what ends up happening is if you kind of turn down the volume on God, sometimes circumstances will start to turn up. And all of a sudden, you're not confused and disturbed because God's trying to talk to you. You're confused and disturbed because life's not going the way you thought it would. And that was our deal. It was like all of a sudden, we were hanging on a little too long, and then things started coming apart. And I was like, uh-oh. And so we had to move here. And so who here, just again, I like participation, who here by a show of hands has ever been in a place where they were confused and disturbed? Everybody say confused and disturbed. Yeah, we've all been there. If you've been doing this for any length of time, you get to a moment where you're like, this does not make sense and I am not comfortable. And this is kind of how Mary's deal was. You see, you have to remember for her, at this point, she's just a girl that lives out in the Middle East. She's not Mary, the mother of Jesus, yet. She doesn't know the whole story. But what we do know is that after 500 years of silence, okay, the last time God spoke was 500 years before this, all of a sudden God decides he wants to speak. And Mary goes, "To me? You want to talk to me? The week before my wedding, you want to talk to me?" And sometimes that's how God works. And I think for us, sometimes we can go through life and be so busy and so much going on and doing so many things that all of a sudden when God speaks, it feels like it's been 500 years. It's like, who are you talking to me? But that can happen sometimes. You see, what the deal is, if you find yourself in a place where you're sort of confused and disturbed, maybe you're at a spot where like you feel like your job's like just a dead end. You're like, I don't want to be here anymore. This is not what I planned for. Maybe your kids are bananas, and you're like, I did not raise them to be this way. Why is this happening? Maybe you don't recognize your spouse anymore. Maybe you've been single like just a little too longer than you thought you wanted to be. Maybe finances aren't quite adding up the way that you wanted them to. And all of a sudden, you're in a place where I'm like, this is not the way that I thought it was going to go. Like, I've been controlling and moving all these pieces around. I have been, like, full speed ahead on my plans, and yet nothing's working out the way that I want it to. You see, the kind of control, sorry, I missed something. Let me go back really quick. So the kind of control we're talking about this morning is not personality type. Okay, so if you in this room are like a type A person, like super detail oriented, like you color code your calendars for vacation, like if you're that kind of person, I want you to know, thank God for you, because the rest of us would be wandering around the woods somewhere, okay? Like we need you planners, we need you organizers, we need you people to think through every detail. I, for one, am not that dude, okay? So, and if you're that kind of person, where you're like me, where you're like, I don't need to control everything. Listen, you're not as hippie and cool as you think you are. You're just pretending, all right? That's how I am, all right? It's like, I'm pretending like I don't need control, but I am 100% a control freak like everybody else. And the reason why is because the need for control is a part of the human condition. Every single one of us want to be the master of our own destiny. We want to manifest it for ourselves and say, I'm in control. I can do this. I know what I'm doing. I've got this. Doesn't matter what your personality type is. So I don't want you to leave here this morning going, I got to be an entirely different person or I'm not a good Christian. No, not true. All right? We're all walking each other home. Now, that being said, when God begins to brush up against our goals and our plans, it can be very uncomfortable. So let's go back to the story here. Where am I? All right, let's go back to the story. So he says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel of the Lord told her. For you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? And the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you said about me come true. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Mary does not know what all this means. As much as the angel of the Lord is trying to explain it to her, she does not know that eventually hospitals are going to be named after her, that statues are going to be made in her image, that she's going to be called Saint Mary. She knows none of this. All she knows is my world is getting wrecked right now, and I have a choice to make. I think all of us have gone through that. All of us have experienced that moment where it's like, this is not part of my plan, God. This is not what I expected from you. And we've got a choice to make. We either try to maintain control or we choose to surrender. We either maintain control or we choose to surrender. So one of the things that's important to understand about the kind of control that we're talking about is that it's rooted in a lack of faith that God can be trusted with more than just your eternity. Let me say that again. The kind of control that we're talking about this morning is a lack of faith that God can be trusted with more than just your eternity. You see, I think oftentimes we're pretty comfortable with saying, you know what, God? You can have what happens to me when I die. That's cool. Like, I'll check that box off. But you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to surrender, like, my money over to you. Like, I'll control that. You handle the spiritual. Like, I'll figure out how to raise my kids. That'll be my deal. God, your deal is what happens when I die. God, I'll deal with my spouse the way I feel I need to deal with them, but you can have what happens to me when I die. And what happens is we sort of like 87% or like 50% surrender to Jesus, and then the other half we're like, well, let's both have a hand on the wheel. Let's not get carried away, you know? I know I feel that way sometimes. But this series is all about letting go of control. It's say, hey, let's not carry this with us into 2020. Let's get better at not having to need our hand on everything and giving more over to God. And so if you look back at what the angel of the Lord begins to say to Mary, she says that the baby will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. And then Mary's response is, I am the Lord's servant. She says, you know what? Okay, I'm just here to serve you. I'm here to respond to the call that you're calling me to in my life. And now here's where it gets good, guys. Because he says his name is going to be Jesus. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. Because of this girl's choice to just say, you know what, I'm going to let go of control and I'm going to surrender my life and my plans over to God, we, right now in this room, are getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And it started with a choice that happened 2,000 years ago of a girl that just said, you know what, I'm going to let go and I'm going to surrender. You have no idea the power of what God can do in your life when you choose to let go and give in to him. And so we're talking about Jesus here. We're talking about the name that's above every other name. We're talking about the Savior of our world, okay? The author and perfecter of our faith, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that Jesus comes into the world because of this moment right here. Somebody get excited. This is good preaching, all right? We're talking about Jesus here, all right? Jesus comes into the world because of this moment right here. The power to surrender is yours. And if you don't hear anything else from me this morning, church, like if you leave here and go out for coffee and you go take a nap on the couch, whatever it is that you do, I want you to hear this one thing from me this morning. When we choose to surrender to Jesus, he's worth it. Jesus is worth our surrender. Jesus will always be worth our surrender. Why? Because he loves us more than anything or anyone ever could. He loves us better than we know ourselves. And no matter what we do, where we go, how we do it, he will always be helping us grow and move to be more like him. And that is a great and amazing gift. He can be trusted. Everybody nod your heads. Jesus can be trusted. And so I know how it feels. I know how it feels. Letting go of control and giving over surrender is terrifying. Because what happens? We become vulnerable. Vulnerability is terrifying. But if there was anyone worthy of our surrender, anyone worthy of our vulnerability, it's Jesus. Because he'll take care of you. And he'll take care of your heart. So that gets me all excited. Now, here's the deal, guys. We were created to do this as a community. And so I'm going to do something kind of cool with you guys. But listen, I'm not going to make you do anything weird. I just want everybody to stand up. All right? I promise you it's not going to get weird. All right. So we're going to do this deal where basically we cannot do this alone. We cannot do Christian faith, making big moves in our lives, just on our own. Everything in culture tells us that we need to manifest our own destiny, that we need to control and inflict our will on every area of our lives. You are going to be this kind of child. You are going to be this kind of spouse. You, money, are going to do this. I wish that one worked. We all want to like inflict our control upon the world around us, but it cannot happen. And if we choose to begin to surrender our lives to Christ, the most important thing is we have to remember we're not alone. So what I want you to do right now is turn to the person next to you, and I just want you to introduce yourself. Just say, hey, my name is so-and-so, if you don't know somebody. So go ahead. It's all right. Just, I believe in you. Good job. Good job. I'm proud of you, church. Awesome. All right. Good job, guys. Hi. It's good to see you guys. All right. Good job. So now that we've all introduced ourselves and we've said hello, here's what I want to do. Hey, Chris. It's good to see you, man. So now that we've all said hello to one another, here's what I want to do. It's not going to get weird, but I want everybody to take a hand and just put it on the shoulder of the person next to you, All right? Now, if you're not a toucher, I promise you nothing else weird is going to happen. And if you are a toucher, no movement. Just hand in place, okay? Just keep your hand there. All right. Everybody's got a hand on someone's shoulder. Now, what I want to do is I want to pray a prayer of surrender. Okay, all of us together as a family, I want to pray a prayer of surrender. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say it, and then I want you guys to repeat after me. Everybody good with that? All right, cool. So here we go. I'm just going to do a short prayer, and then I'm going to have you guys preach after or say it after me. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for this group, this people, this community, Father, what you're doing and how you're doing it. Father, I pray for every heart to be open, every mind to see who it is that you are, and we make a big deal about Jesus, a big deal about Jesus because he can be trusted. All right, everybody, repeat after me. Father, help us learn to surrender more to you in 2020. And give us the faith to walk it out every day. Amen. All right, give yourselves a hand for class participation. Listen, you guys have been amazing. I love all your faces so much. So what we're going to do from this point forward is I want to go back into a time of worship. And during this time, listen, it is about letting go, even if it's just for today. Just try it for today. Just try today to go to God and say, you know what? I'm going to turn this over to you today. And then tomorrow, try again. And if you don't do it, that's okay. The next day, try again. God will be faithful to continue to make you more like Jesus. It's the most amazing thing he will ever do for us. So I love all of you. Let's worship.